I'd like to call the Services Committee for the month of August to order, and I need a motion to approve the agenda. Mr. Denisha, seconded by Mr. Paquin. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Agenda's approved. We need a motion to approve the minutes from the July 16th meeting. Mr. Paquin, seconded by, anybody? Oh, Mr. Arquette, sorry. Any, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of the minutes is done. We have a presentation by Chris Rediz on the creation of a child fatality review team.
Yes. So this is an opportunity for us to learn about the causes of child fatalities here in St. Lawrence County. It's an opportunity to have a regional team that would involve not just St. Lawrence County, but also Jefferson and Lewis counties. And the opportunity is because the Office of Children and Family Services, in its efforts to try to come up with ways to be helpful preventing fatalities and figuring out how we can keep children safe, has offered 5 years of funding that the Child Advocacy Center has said could be very helpful, as we not only are involved in investigations about what's happened, but also are trying to put together a way to try to hopefully prevent the deaths of children. And those deaths can be caused by a variety of things: unsafe sleeping, suicide, drowning, accidents, abuse. And this group would be able to look at trends in how the causes of the deaths have worked, and then also have funding to try to get the word out there to create awareness, hopefully identifying systemic causes and ways that we can be involved to prevent the deaths from occurring in the first place. So the way that this would work, it's a regional team. It would involve folks not just from St. Lawrence County, but also Jefferson County and Lewis County. And there would be letters of commitment from various department heads here in St. Lawrence County. And I wanted to make sure that this proposal and this resolution makes sense to you before we authorize their using them in their application. But they are hoping to send the application in as soon as possible. And those commitments would come from the county attorney's office, the public health department, and the public health department also in connection with the coroners, the district attorney, Department of Social Services, Sheriff's Office, Emergency Medical Services. And there could be other participants as well, but those are the ones that they are saying we really have to have these to make this work. It would be very helpful for us, I think, and not take a great deal of time. These would be quarterly meetings. People could participate by phone or video if they aren't able to. They're going to try to alternate between Jefferson County and St. Lawrence County for the meetings. What they have to have at each of the meetings are representatives from each of the different types of offices. But because this is a regional meeting, they wouldn't have to have someone from the district attorney's office in each of the counties. It would be sufficient to have one of them. And there will be a coordinator that will be making sure that they have the right people participating.
Any questions for Chris on this? Thank you, Chris. Now we have a resolution we need a motion for authorization to create a child fatality review team in St. Lawrence County.
Exactly. And
seconded by Mr. Forsyth and Mr. Fay.
So this is the resolution to go ahead and authorize its creation here in St. Lawrence County. And if I understand incorrectly that you don't want me to send the letters of commitment yet, let me know that. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and start the process so they can get the application in by the deadline.
Any questions on that for Chris? Everybody okay with the letters of commitment? Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We'll move on to the other resolutions here for Social Services. We need a motion for authorization to fill a caseworker position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Burke and Mr. Perkins.
So this proposed resolution is to fill a vacant caseworker position that's vacant because of resignation. This is in the preventive area, so these are situations where we have caseworkers involved, hopefully keep children out of foster care, and it's very cost effective. Even if we look at child, say, for 6 months at, you know, somewhere between approximately $20 and potentially over $500 a day, we very quickly add up to more than the cost of the position. If we were to estimate $62 a day, which is the therapeutic foster care cost that we attempt to use, in half a year, we have more than $11,000. And so just a couple of youths who are kept out of foster care could equal half a year's salary.
Any questions on it? Yes, Mr. Aker.
Chris, are these kids, are they allowed to go to relatives rather than foster care?
Absolutely. So we actually have been, especially in recent years, doing everything we can to make sure that if there is a relative available, that really is pursued. And in many situations, the relatives actually are eligible for some financial help as well, even without being in foster care. So yes, that's a tremendous resource that we try to take full advantage of. And if it weren't for that, we would have much higher numbers of children in foster care. And that's another reason for this position, because we still have all the same obligations to that relative that we would if the child were in foster care. So,
well, the reason I asked, I just got done reading Hillbilly Elegy. You've probably read it.
Oh, the Elegy. Yes, I know of the book. I haven't read it yet, but I appreciate you reminding me of it.
So this is a guy that grew up in Kentucky and then moved to Ohio and then wrote this book. And must be there's some restraints in Kentucky about kids that are moving into foster care rather than the relatives. And then as a child, hidden, going through that with the mother having multiple partners and drug addiction and everything else, he mentions in the final chapter how important it was to him to have these relatives, his grandmother. So I didn't know if in New York State relatives were restricted or not.
No, but it depends on the case. So you can imagine the court looking at the various options, maybe exploring a grandparent or someone else and thinking, you know what, I don't think it's going to work because of this particular family member's background or whatever it is. So it doesn't work in every situation, but it certainly is an ideal way to go.
Do you seek them out?
Yes.
You do.
In fact, these caseworkers are involved with that process of trying to contact people, make sure that we're exploring all those options.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next one, we need a motion for authorization to abolish the data entry machine operator position and a social welfare examiner position and create and fill a computer technician position in the Department of Social Services. Mr. Burke and Mr. Forsyth.
So this is a proposed resolution in connection with a new position related to the departure of a data entry machine operator who has taken another position outside of the department. And the challenges that we're having right now with the work that person did, as well as the hardware and software issues, is such that we really need to reallocate our work to have someone here on staff who is very much part of the team. Ideally, we would want to hire someone who's capable of elevating the knowledge level of the users so that we are making sure that employees are able to remedy basic computer technical issues. But there's a considerable amount of difficulty as we're at this time trying to get by with what has been not enough people in the IT area. So this would be abolishing not only the data entry machine operator, but also the social welfare examiner position.
Any questions for Chris on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The last one we have under social services, we need a motion for authorization to fill a keyboard specialist position in the Department of Social Services.
So this proposal.
Mr. Perkins and seconded by Mr. Burke.
Thank you. This proposed resolution is for a keyboard specialist who is resigning to take another job outside of the county and is in the Disabled Client Assistance Program, which is one of the parts of the department that is exceedingly cost effective. So not only is there heavy reimbursement for this position, but the work that this keyboard specialist is engaged in with the Disabled Client Assistance Program agent is significant in reducing the county's costs for especially safety net assistance by making sure that when somebody comes to the department and has a disability, that we are reaching out to them, and if they're eligible for federal benefits, making sure that they are applying. And in many cases, they eventually are able to get those benefits with our help. We will participate in the hearings. This keyboard specialist is a key part of keeping everything organized, and we will be able to recover interim benefits, that is the amounts that we've paid, sometimes for years back. And so on average, we have, over the last few years, been over $200,000 each year in just those recovered interim benefits. So the net county cost for this position is just $17,460 approximately. And we also, besides those interim benefits, are saving the county from having to pay continuing benefits in the future that could go on for many years. So this particular program is a very successful part of our operations, and this keyboard specialist position is what allows us to make sure that all the clerical work with this effort is done correctly.
Any questions or discussion on that one? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
We're going to move the community services to finance, and we'll move to public health. I need a motion authorizing the chair to sign a contract for the early intervention administration program for the public health department. Mr. Burke and seconded by Mr. Arquette.
So this resolution, I would allow the chair to sign the annual contract for the EI program to offset the costs that we have in our department. It's an annual contract.
Any questions or discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I forgot to mention at the beginning of the meeting, Mr. Timmerman is excused from tonight's both committee meetings tonight. I'm assuming everything else we're going to do. So services is adjourned.
Call to order the Operations Committee meeting of August 13th, 2018. We need a motion for approval of the agenda.
So
Mr. Arquette and Mrs. Bell. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's carried. And we need a resolution for approval of the minutes of the July 16th meeting. Mr. Denisha, seconded by Mr. Arquette. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Move on into the resolutions. First is in planning. Resolution establishing appropriation and revenue accounts within the 2018 budget for New York Sea Grant Small Grants Program funds. Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mrs. Bell. Jason?
Thank you. Pretty straightforward here, just setting up accounts for a grant that was received by the county. This was written in response to the flooding that occurred along the St. Lawrence River in 2017. The funds are intended to be used for planning, resiliency planning, to look at various ways of how we can address potential mitigation of future flooding along the river, primarily the southern part of the St. Lawrence River in St. Lawrence County, the towns of Hammond, Morristown, Oswegatchie, and the town of Lisbon. The city of Ogdensburg did receive a similar grant, same amount of money, and we'll be doing work in the city of Ogdensburg, similar to the work that we'll be doing with this grant.
Any discussion on this item? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That's carried. And we also have some information to be presented here, an Environmental Management Council survey at the Bassmaster event.
Yes, thank you. This is an initiative that came out of the county's Environmental Management Council, specifically the Conservation of Resources Subcommittee. They have a keen interest in a variety of different topics, one of which is the fishing resource in the county. And so they, in consultation with Bassmaster officials, local Bassmaster officials, they put together a very short 7-question survey that they intend to get filled out when the tournament is on. So it'll be a question, or just a matter of volunteers going around and asking individuals some of these, or all of these 7 basic questions about fishing, just to try to get a baseline understanding of fishing information throughout the county.
Any questions for Jason? Mr. Forsyth.
Yeah, Jason, I don't know if on the Fish Advisory Board, it seems like a few months ago we talked about this. They were wondering about possibly tagging some of the fish. Just see what happened. I don't know if that would fall into this category or how we'd go about that. And I haven't had a chance to talk to the guys lately about it, but would that be a possibility, you think, or would who?
I'm not sure if that conversation has come up with the subcommittee of the EMC, but I certainly can bring it to them and see what their interest level is and see if
just
there's
to
a
see,
way to
like,
coordinate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they are, where they go.
Yeah, like the fish that go from out in front of my dock, where they end up next year.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll mention that.
Anyone else? Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to emergency services. We have a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the Office of Emergency Services for the fiscal year 16 State Homeland Security Program. Mr. Colbert, seconded by Mr. Perkins. Mike, go ahead.
Okay, this resolution is modifying 2016 grant for Homeland Security. It's basically to clean up the budget lines from consultants to equipment. And this, I did receive authorization from New York State to replace the existing car one with a newer car. And this will allow us to move the funds from the consultant line to the equipment line to cover the additional cost for that vehicle.
Questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, Mr. Berg, sorry.
So that's, I'm going to touch on that. So we're talking about for grant purposes is how much we've taken in so far. So we got the $2.6 million that was initially distributed to the county back in 2014. Subsequently, we've received two additional amounts in the amount $780-some thousand and another $900,000 last year. And those are on a two-year grant cycle performance period. Plus, we're going to be receiving some of the targeted money that 10 counties in the state we're going to be receiving. I've just submitted the grant application the other day. I met with state Department of Homeland and Emergency Services officials a couple weeks ago, laid out my budget plan and how we were going to spend the money that we were going to be receiving. So I'm hoping, again, there's no dollar amount that's attributed to that. I'd like to see, you know, there's 10 counties and $20 million sitting there, so it'd be nice if we saw another $2 million, but it's they're going to make the determination on who's getting what when they receive the targeted funding grants. So just to touch a little base on where we are with the project. So the plan was to have a couple towers built this year and a couple more next year. We ran into some challenges when we migrated our existing communications equipment from the older towers to the new locations. So once we did that, we saw degradation in our communication capabilities. So working with our consultants and our vendor, Wells Communication, we were able to identify the source of the problem, and we have a plan in place to remedy that situation. So what it was basically the antenna that Wells Communication spec'd out didn't work well in our county. So we're going back to the antennas that we've been using for the last 30 some years. And Wells is covering the cost of the replacement. They're going to pay the tower climbers. The only thing that I'm covering the cost of is a couple hundred dollars a piece for each tower for additional stabilization equipment for this type of antenna to the tower, and mainly it's for the sheriff's department because my antenna is going on the very top, so there won't be any additional stabilization equipment required for the emergency services antenna, but for the sheriff's department antenna there will. So I'm covering the cost of that for the sheriff. So through this process, because it delayed us in this construction season, instead of trying to get two towers done this year and two next year, our consultant felt we'd be in a better place to put out a bid for four towers next year and get a better price from one company and have a little better control over how the process works. So the plan is for 2019, we'll have all of our regulatory work done, all of the site development determined, and we'll have towers at Governor, Hammond, Panther Mountain, and Waddington. Because I just received permission by resolution from the town of Waddington to put a tower up on their property there as well. So that's the plan, get all four towers built next year and 1 year closer to getting this project done.
Okay, we didn't quite complete that vote because Mr. Burke had a question, so we're gonna do that again. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. And Mike, was that your project update?
Yes, it was.
I thought so. Thank you. We're going to move on to probation. We have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement with Chestnut Health Systems Incorporated for eConnect software. Mr. Burke, seconded by Mr. Perkins and Mr. Denisha.
Mr. LePage is on vacation this week, so Supervisor Carrie Tracy is here with us.
So the first resolution is regarding Chestnut Health Systems. They are providing us a adolescent suicide risk screening tool. With three is the age, all of our adolescents are gonna be coming in, we have to assess them for suicide risk. So basically they're just asking us to share information. It's strictly confidential. There's basically only one little piece of information that they need, and that's when we actually use their screening tool. They're just trying to get some demographics from it and the outcome of what we did with the screening with the adolescent.
Questions? Mr. Berg.
Yes. Once we get the equipment, they're providing us tablets with the software installed on them. Our juvenile officers will be trained on how to administer it, and then what to do with the score and where to go from there, what kind of referrals need to be made.
Mr. Akers.
Tracy, is it like a questionnaire? What type of equipment are we talking about? What is it?
Yes, it's a suicide risk questionnaire, and it's strictly for adolescents, and it will be in like on an iPad, tablet form that will actually be handed to the adolescent, and they'll answer all the questions. And then what it does is it gives the probation officer an idea of where this individual is as far as any thoughts on suicide. It classifies them into three different classifications. If we need to do something immediately, like get the police in there right away for a pickup order, if we need to do something in the next couple of days, get them into a mental health counselor, or if there's really no risk at all and we just need to kind of move on from there.
So that's if the individual truly answers the questions accurately, or
yes, and I
messing
mean,
with you.
They put a lot of thought into this. I actually went to Columbia University in November because a lot of the probation there's eight probation departments that have been selected in the state. We were kind of skeptical about if the answers could be skewed in any way, if the adolescent is answering honestly, you know, forthcoming, or if maybe they're overinflating. Because we know that both of those things can happen, and they assure us that, you know, this tool will allow them to answer the questions openly, because we don't really see their answers to the questions. We just see the outcome of their answers.
Well, that's interesting. Approximately how many questions are there?
I don't know yet, because we haven't seen the actual questions that are going to be asked. Like, they'll show us what's going to be asked. Raise the ages October 1st, and we're still trying to nail everything down with Columbia University, so I'm hoping in the next few weeks that we'll be able to see what's being asked and how we proceed from there.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions for Carrie? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. We're going to move on to a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Carol L. Hull Marolf for cleaning services from the Messina Harrogate Commons building for the district offices of probation, Department of Motor Vehicles, Emergency Services, and Community Services. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mr. Fay.
So this resolution is so that we can maintain our business relationship with Carol. We really like her work. She's asking for two more years at the same hourly rate, so no changes there. So that's what we were hoping for tonight.
Questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ms. Carey. Thank you. Moving on to the district attorney's office. We have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Department of Criminal Justice Service for aid to prosecution. Mr. Burt, seconded by Mr. Lightfoot.
So the first resolution deals with the chair accepting grant funds. Our aid to prosecution grant, which goes to reimburse salaries in the office, it's just over $53,000, which actually almost reimburses us for one whole position, given the staff that we have now and the minimum salary that we have.
Questions for Gary? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's carried. The next resolution is authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Department of Criminal Justice Services for the 2018 Stop Violence Against Women Act Formula Award. Mr. Burke, seconded by Mr. Forsyth.
This is in order to receive grant funds, or Violence Against Women grant. This goes to one particular ADA position that is tasked with handling crimes against women, different domestic violence crimes, including stalking, sexual assaults. The grant pays for just over half of that position's salary, so it's a It's a benefit to the county and is a reimbursement for that salary.
Any questions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's carried. Thank you, Gary. Mr. Forsyth.
We never get to see you here, so I just got one, which is good. So I just got one question. How are staffing levels and how's it going?
Staffing levels for attorneys are good. We're fully staffed right now, and I appreciate the board letting us fill that last position later in the year when we did. So that's going well. We have our budget meeting tomorrow. We will be asking for a position, a support staff position, for a typist, clerk typist or keyboard specialist. The bare minimum, basically what we need, our numbers are up in terms of the amount of work we're doing. Last year, there were a total of 159 indictments and Superior Court informations from January through December. We've already surpassed that number in August, and we'll surpass the number for 2016 probably by the end of this month. With that, however, comes additional paperwork. I have staffing for legal secretaries that can help us with that, but a lot of their time is bogged down in the simple day-to-day operations, specifically mail. We get mail 3 times a day. It's burdensome on the staff, especially being in 2 separate locations. Unfortunately, we can't keep all of our files in one location, so our files are separated over both locations. Mail can only go to one, so they spend a large amount of their time dealing with that. So given the amount of volume that we have coming in, having that one additional support staff person, I think will do a lot to make our lives a lot smoother and easier.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Gary. And we're going to move on to the sheriff. We have a resolution for authorization to fill a head cook position in the Sheriff's Office Correctional Division. Mr. Forsyth, seconded by Mr. Arquette.
So an opening that occurred back in July in regards to a resignation. And if you read down through the body of the resolution, you'll see where it's for a head cook position. But as we canvass and look for applicants, if we can't find a head cook right away, we'll underfill it with a cook position and work with supervision from within to monitor them and oversee them.
Any questions for the sheriff? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's carried. And you probably have some information for us.
In regards to jail
count.
Yeah, jail count when as of this morning was at 152, and nobody housed out. One minor male housed in for Franklin County, and 28 women included in that count of 152. That's it.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Moving on to conflict defender, we have a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with the New York State Defenders Association for the public defender case management system.
This resolution comes forward under the conflict defender, but it is a system that serves both the public defender and the conflict defender. This system was purchased in 2011 with the first installation of the 90-10 split with the Indigent Defense Legal Services Fund. And annually, we seek to have this reimbursed with state money. It's $9,000 for the system. What we're working toward now with the implementation of the additional funds coming in is an improvement to the system so that more eyes can see name and assigned attorney. So that will save time between the offices trying to make sure that an attorney appears with the individual. So this will allow us to continue with the contract, and then we'll bring you updated information as we can get that improved.
Okay, we need a motion. Mr. LaPierre, and second, Mr. Berg. Any questions of Ruth? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's carried. Next, we have a resolution modifying the 2018 budget for the county clerk's office for overtime costs. Mr. Forsyth, Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Lapeer.
With this resolution, I'm asking that the $10,000 that was held in contingency for the overtime for the county clerk department be transferred to the county clerk's budget. I'm also requesting an additional $50,000 in overtime funds. The local DMV offices have all been extremely busy with people coming in to upgrade their driver's licenses to the real IDs or the EDLs. These are very time-consuming transactions, and it makes it difficult to get the downstate dealer work processed. So the extra overtime is required in order to be able to process the dealer work that generates the revenue for the county. And even with the additional overtime, we still expect to be ahead of what was projected for 2018.
And I would just add to that that this was an area that I had to encourage Mary Lou. She's so careful with how she expends both her staff resources as well as their time. And this is something, as you all know, at a quick look at the budget, more than pays for itself. So this has allowed some of her staff to up the overtime to help with an extraordinarily busy time in downstate as well.
Questions for Mary Lou? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Carried.
Thank you. Moving on to indigent defense, we have a resolution for authorization to create and fill an administrative assistant position in the Office of Indigent Defense. Mr. Perkins, seconded by Mr. Paquin.
This resolution was brought forward with the interest of one of the areas the state's really pushing for in this influx of funding that will be coming in over the next 5 years, neighboring around $5 million towards the criminal defense in all areas, public defender, conflict defender, and indigent defense being assigned counsel at this point. This would create an administrative assistant position upon the signing of that contract and not before, not to be paid by county dollars, but intended to collect the data, submit all of the reimbursement and all of the funding each year coming through the grants. This position would manage all of that. We're up to five grants, and I think over the next 5 years, increasing amounts of funding to this arena. So we believe this position, and the vacancy review committee was supportive as well.
Questions regarding the resolution? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried. Is there any old business to come before the committee? Any new business to come before the committee? Seeing none, we'll move on to the county administrator's report.
Okay. First, I want to apologize for my tardiness. We were in the audit committee meeting, which finished up shortly after this meeting began. I do apologize for that. The audit committee did meet today. Drescher and Malecki presented their draft findings of the 2017 audit. They will be here at finance committee to present the almost final numbers. They're undergoing two separate reviews, both internal here as well as with their firm, to finalize those numbers so that they can be submitted. They will be here to provide all of the information necessary. Certainly, I think for members who were present, it was a good update. They will be moving away from the issuance of material findings, which is the first with their work with the county. We're very excited that things are continuing to improve, and as in their words, identified that we are demonstrating slow but definite progress. It isn't the fluke of one influx of cash in 1 year. This is progress towards a stable fund balance and a financial picture that's much brighter than we were 3 years ago. Also in the audit committee meeting, Dylan provided an update on the municipal tax trends. We didn't get to spend enough time on it, so I wanted him to spend a little time here explaining this to you. You'll find each district is in your mailboxes, but I'll have him lead you through the information we think will be helpful.
So when I first started, Ruth tasked me with looking at tax trends throughout the county, the municipalities throughout the county. So in doing that, I analyzed information from 32 towns, one city, 21 school districts, some crossing county lines, 12 villages, one of which has been dissolved, and the county for a total of 67 municipalities and school districts. You'll notice in your report that each one of you has either has already picked it up or it's in your mailbox that the tax rates were equalized to 100% to be able to compare. The information pulled for fund balances and the figured percentages of expenditures, all that information comes from the OCS website, the comptroller's website, and the fiscal stress tool. And you'll find that the data for each town is specific to your legislative district. So for example, for Mr. Lightfoot, it includes the town of Canton, the village of Rensselaer, but of course not the village of Canton or other school districts in the town, but not in Mr. Lightfoot's district. During the report earlier, I reviewed three different reports that kind of highlighted some examples of municipalities that have done a good job of reducing taxes over the past 4 years, where taxpayers are actually paying less, and showing some that are actually on the higher end. You can find all those on Google Drive. So you're going to get a physical copy of yours, but the rest of them are on Google Drive. The assumptions that were made, tax rates again were controlled at 100, rounded to the nearest thousandth. And school districts were averaged to try to come up with the average citizen within your town and legislative district. And that's a weighted average. Fire districts were averaged as well. Light, water, and sewer were admitted to keep things consistent. In 2018, village and school district rates were projected based on the 4 years prior because that information was not out yet at the time. Fund balance numbers come from 2016, the last year that all data was available. Other than that, if you have any questions on why numbers are the way that they are, get a hold of me. Hopefully I can explain, and we'll go over any questions that you have individually.
Thank you. So this also allowed an opportunity for Dylan and I to look at what other municipalities have done. And the surprise, I think, as well as I think certain confirmation, was that many of the municipalities have either held or lowered taxes as well. But there are some that have seen increases, and disproportionately, sometimes I think in the conversations, it's attributed to the county because at the top of their bill it says St. Lawrence County tax bill. So we wanted to provide you by district with the information that would be valuable so that you understand what's happening in your local municipalities. So if you do have questions, certainly reach out. Also provided in there is the numbers associated with the fund balance as a portion of expenditures, so the percentages. And when you look at our counties, that's one mention, you'll see 165 million. That reduces from the AUD the total for fringe. If you remember, we put fringe out in departments, that's billed back to the treasurer's office. So you can see what the total number for 2016 was in general fund balance, as apportioned by percentage to the total expenditures. So in some areas, you'll be able to quickly identify some interesting percentages where perhaps they have over 100% of their expenditures in fund balance. And in our case, we have 6.7. But it also demonstrates where we were able to make some reductions. So have a look, let us know, and certainly, as Dylan mentioned, it's on Google Drive. At Finance this month, you'll receive an update on the electronic home monitoring with Tim LePage out of town this week. Wanted to bring you that at his jurisdictional committee, but he'll bring that. We're about 6 months in at this time, so we'll bring you an update as far as what we're looking at for the remainder of this year, as well as what we're looking at for budget for next year. Also, at the next meeting, I will bring you an update on the Vacancy Review Committee annually around the August time frame when the Vacancy Review Committee was put back in place. I give you an update and try to quantify some of the percentages with which we're filling positions. Dylan's working on some of the dollar savings with HR, and we'll bring you some of that information as well. Also, next meeting, we'll bring you an update on the IMA software, as you know, and approved. We're coming up in September on the 6 months time frame with which the initial contract was agreed upon. We'll bring you an update on both the challenges they faced and the money they've received, as well as guidance, hopefully, on moving forward, whether we bring that back in-house or we maintain IMA going forward. I will also remind you there's no meeting next Monday, August 20th. But I also want to give you an update on the Employee Appreciation Day that I had mentioned. We will be holding that on Wednesday, August 29th from 12 till 2. I will be providing with department heads and at least two of the legislators, any of you that are available to please join us, an ice cream sundae bar, and we'll be bringing back the years of service pins for anniversaries of 10, 15, 20, 25, and those who you've honored at the 30 and 35 year mark, but they might have missed in those ceremonies since approximately 2011, which was when the system basically was purged and we didn't provide those any longer. So we've brought those back and we'll be issuing those to employees who've met those thresholds. That's all I've got.
Okay.
Questions?
Any questions for Ruth? Do we have a need for executive session?
We do. I'd like to request that the sheriff be able to stay in for executive session, as well as our outside counsel, Lindsay Hazelton. There's no objection, all four categories.
Okay, we'll entertain a motion to go into executive session. Mr. Fay, seconded by Mr. Colbert. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're going into executive session.
Who's approved?
New York Court.